Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
have I, Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
The first Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014 and will be held in stunning Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Come join us with other men and women from around the world for yoga, meditation, classes, organic meals, dance and music festivities, healing workshops, hot mineral springs, and more. Want more information? Visit earthgoddessrising.com and cash in on the early bird ticket sales, earthgoddessrising.com.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai, a great group that I met in the Sedona, Arizona area. And I want to extend a welcome to you, whether you're joining us here for the first time or whether you've listened to the show and you're coming back to see what we have going on tonight. And we are now streaming live, by the way, in three additional places, so I welcome all of our listeners in those places as well, which is TalkStream Live, StreamFinder, and Penn, also known as Prayer Encounters Network. And I welcome everybody that catches our show as well in the archives through TuneIn.com, iTunes, and through my YouTube version. I also want to extend an appreciation for tonight's sponsor, Earth Goddess Rising. And here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, what I do is I look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove those blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. And what I do is some weeks I discuss different aspects of compassion, how it affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And then some weeks we do more exercises and practical implementations. Most of the time I've got a guest on the show so that you can learn more about their work and how other things complement and work with compassion. I also have different musical artists that I'm bringing on along the way. Last year we had Stephen Halpern, Peter Cater on the show, which was really a great thing. And then this year I've also got Bruce Ciccarelli is getting ready to come on the show here in a couple of weeks. So there's some lots of good ones and some other ones working on that I'll let you know as soon as we've got the dates settled in on them, but they are going to be shows you don't want to miss, I assure you of that. In my own work, what I do is I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday life. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, and if you've missed that, you can catch it in our archives. And I've authored four books, the most recent being You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook, and then my first two books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, a multi-state nationwide tour including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And you can actually follow all the events that I have that are live events through Jessie Ann Nichols George, so it's my whole name there, .eventbrite, and that's eventbrite.com. And I have a lot of things that I'm working on that I'm getting ready to bring to you, but there's some really great seasonal events happening here, so you definitely want to check those out. Just a reminder, if you enjoy the show this evening, make certain you tell your friends, family, you know, all those nice social media connections out there, be it Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you like to work with, and anybody else you might feel inspired to share it with, because they can always come back and listen to it in the archives, and they'll just use the same link you use to get into it, or they can also go to my website, Jessie Ann Nichols George, thenumber1.com, and on my page of the Main Street Universe tab there, I've got all the archive shows listed. In addition, they can get it again through iTunes, TuneIn.com as podcast, and then on my YouTube channel. So before we get started, those that have listened to the show before, you know that I like to delve into the wonderful little book, The 72 Names of God by Yehuda Berg. And I love Yehuda's work because he takes these bigger, complex topics and subjects, and he breaks them down into everyday language and everyday life. And that's what I like to do with my work, is take those larger concepts like compassion and teach you how to bring that into your everyday life. So I like this a lot from my own insights as well, and I kind of delve into it. So let's see what the message is he's got for us tonight and take a look at that. And we've got dumping depression. So this is going to be very interesting with the topic we have tonight, personal mysticism. Life is fraught with obstacles and tasks that sometimes knocks us off our feet. When we do lose our balance and fall flat on our faces, it's important to stand up again rather than to sink into doubt and depression. Now, the insight he provides on this is ascending the spiritual ladder requires far more greatness and strength than conquering nations, building empires, or attaining great wealth. The negative forces, for example, our ego, that dwell in the world use a two-step plan against us. They, one, make us fail, or fall, I should say, and two, keep us down through feelings of guilt and depression over our setbacks. Getting up again generates greater spiritual light in the world than if we had never fallen in the first place. The fact that we fell is not what's important. True greatness lies in the act of rising again. But depression is an alluring emotional state. In point of fact, it's downright tempting, for it, too, arouses energy within a downhearted individual. But the nature of this energy is negative and innocuous, whereas the spiritual energy of the light is positive and transformational. When we rise out of our depression with the intent to reveal light in the world, positive energy envelops us, bringing great blessings and untold joy to all existence. And the meditation he provides on this is the emotional strength to stand after you stumble, to rise after you fall, and to endure when the path seems unendurable is bestowed upon you. And I love this because I think there are so many people delving into this and this very area of how to rise again in the challenges. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a little show this Sunday night, if anybody would like to catch it. I have Greg Friedman with Inner Journey Radio is going to be interviewing me, and we're actually going to be delving into some of the shadows of life. So I definitely encourage you to tune in. If you're feeling challenged at all, if you feel like you've been a little beat down over the last few years, which most people have, come check us out and see what we're going to be talking about. Now, the formal name on this is Hey Kuf Mem. Okay, that's Hey Kuf Mem. Common name of God here is Dumping Depression. And that'll be posted, by the way, on my page of the Main Street Universe tab on my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com. So here's a little something for us to think about before we head off onto our break and get our guest on tonight. Do you ever ask the questions, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose and how do I fulfill it? Have you ever sought out direct connection with the divine? What is your relationship with the divine? Well, there are many paths that lead to a connection to the divine. Today, I'm looking at the aspect of personal mysticism. It is a path of directly connecting with the divine and unraveling our own mysteries to both understand them and to discover more of who we are. Many talk of this path as being in the flow. It is a path of opening to experience many blessings in our lives. This is a very individual process because everyone has their own thoughts and feelings and their own unique way of connecting. And this is true intimacy when we make this connection. We are open, vulnerable, strong, and connecting with the divine on the deepest personal levels there are as a clear and open vessel for all that is. Penny Cohen specializes in helping people with personal mysticism, finding their connection with the divine and experiencing the blessings that come from that. She uses an integrated approach with the Tree of Life in her work. What I particularly like is how she helps people to see how this works with their individual path, whatever their belief system is. This individuality is so important, I feel. And when we become robotic, we lose the very thing we are trying to accomplish. One of my friends recently commented that things cannot and will not work if they are done out of obligation. What a great reminder that is. As for me, this is why. Even if I designate specific times to connect with the divine, I will also bring variety to how I make that connection. I will honor where the flow of the day leads me. For me, while I do my best to honor times of day or different specific components, I do not become too rigid. For example, this week, I rescued a cat from almost going over a waterfall. Did the divine get upset with me because I didn't say a prayer at a certain time of day? Of course not. Perhaps it would have been different had I forgotten devotional time for something destructive. But knowing the forgiveness of the divine, it would probably sit back and think, that will be a tough lesson to learn. To me, the key is what works for you. There is no one that will share exactly the same connection as you do. Your journey is specific to you. Have you found the mystic within you? What ways are you using to connect on a personal level with the divine? Is your path restrictive and excluding others? Or is it open and accepting of different thoughts and ideas? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of the hidden enemy. This reminds us that we need to be willing to look at all parts of ourselves, no matter what they are, to keep an open mind, and instead of judging ourselves and those around us for the views that they have, to be open and receptive to learning about them. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I will have Penny Cohen with us, and she's going to be sharing her work in personal mysticism using the integrated Tree of Life for love and purpose. And the song that I've got for you tonight is called The Chosen One. It's by Claire Hedin, and if you'd like to find out more about Claire's work, you can certainly do so at www.clairehedin.com, and that's CLAREHEDIN.com, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Your eyes shine with kindness, your hair curls with joy, your heart lights the bedroom, your grace fills the sky. You are the chosen one, so bright just like the sun. You are so blessed, be you are a joy to me. Your name sings the heavens, and nature hears it too. Imagination whispers, creating life through you. You are the chosen whisper, so bright just like the sun. You fill my heart with gladness, the heavens sing a chorus of which you are a part. They hear you when you suffer. They hold your blessed heart. You are the chosen one, so bright just like the sun. You are so blessed, be you are a joy to me. You are a joy to me. You are the one I love, so blessed. You are the one I chose to be with me. You are the one I love with all my might. You are my joy, you're my delight. You are the one I love that I adore. You are the
The first Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014. Embrace your divine feminine and balance the masculine. Nourish your body, mind, and spirit with a 3-day program intended to inspire, clear, and heal your being. You don't want to miss out on the great early ticket sales. Need more information? Explore EarthGoddessRising.com. Cash in on the early bird ticket sales today. EarthGoddessRising.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess this evening. You are listening to a song just now called The Chosen One by Claire Hedin, and again, you can check out more of Claire's work at www.clairehedin.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-H-E-D-I-N.com. And also, again, a special thanks to our sponsor tonight, the Earth Goddess Rising event. I certainly encourage you to check that out as well at www.earthgoddessrising.com. And I'd like to bring on my guest tonight, Penny Cohen, LCSW, and she is a transformational psychotherapist, life coach, and author of Personal Kabbalah, 32 Paths to Inner Peace and Life Purpose. She has been counseling, lecturing, conducting workshops internationally at professional conferences, universities, and organizations on personal, career, and spiritual development and Kabbalah for over 25 years. She holds a master's degree in social work from Columbia University, is a licensed psychotherapist, certified hypnotherapist, EMDR, energy psychology, and Imago relationship practitioner and life and spiritual coach. So just a few things that she's got on her credential list there. We're looking tonight at the work that Penny does in personal mysticism using the integrated tree of life for love and purpose. And you can learn more about the work she does at www.pennycohen.com. And Penny was a guest on my show a while back. We did a show with her on relationships a little over a year ago, so I encourage checking that out as well in our archives. Penny, welcome back to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour.
Thank you for inviting me, Jessie. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure, and we had such a good time when you were on the air with me before, and so I thought this is such a great topic to bring you in for because it's certainly an area of expertise for you, to say the least.
Right.
So give us a little clue about what brought you into personal mysticism.
A good question. It happened about 35 years ago. I was an atheist up until age 38, and my husband told me he wanted a divorce. I was absolutely devastated. I had no college degree, no career, two children, and I had no idea of how I would support myself or get along. And a neighbor next door who was divorced 6 months before me said to me, keep a journal. It'll be very interesting to see the changes that take place in you. And I did. I bought a pencil and pad, and I kept it with me at all times, and I was writing everything down, conversations I was having with people, what was happening during my day. And it became my best friend. I also went to a therapist who, after the first visit, said to me, the mind controls all. Yogis can walk on nails. They can change their body temperature. They can walk on hot coal. And the mind controls all. So I left thinking that my mind's going to control all and that I could be happy even going through divorce. And I'm very determined when I want to be. So I decided I was going to lose weight to look good for the singles world. And quite frankly, I wasn't that heavy at the time anyway. I was around 125 pounds at 5'5". But I lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
I decided I was going to learn everything I could about relationships, so I started reading all night long. While doing this, I was still keeping notes and keeping the very detailed journal. And after a while, I started experiencing ESP and mental telepathy, something I never experienced before. Prove it to me was my motto. And I would know who was on the other end of the phone if I hadn't spoken to the person in 6 months, or if someone was staring at me behind on a train. I went into a very high, clear state. Keeping that detailed journal, I could also see my thoughts. After a while, I began hearing things about Plato, Aristotle, and I didn't even have a college degree at that point. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night and just automatically started writing a theory on how to reach the highest in creativity. It was like something was just guiding my hand. However, after about a month of this, not eating or sleeping, one day while dusting furniture, I had a complete meltdown. I started crying and screaming, and I ran into my bedroom. My knees went down to the floor. My hands went over the bed, and I automatically screamed, God help me. Overwhelmed with total exhaustion, I lay down in the bed, and there was total silence. And all of a sudden, I felt this incredible radiance surround me like soft pins and needles massaging my skin. And then it actually entered into me. And I had this incredible warmth and inner love. And I remembered thinking, this is the feeling of love without having someone to love. This is unconditional love. And I even jumped a step further and said to myself, this must be what divine love is. And then in the silence, I heard a voice, and the voice said, you are Messiah. And please make sure I address this before the end of this meeting so people don't think I'm a total egomaniac. And I remember thinking, a Messiah can save the world. I can't even save myself. And then I remembered thinking, a Messiah knows all. What do I know? And the voice said, all knowing is within, and what you know will manifest in poetry. Never wrote poetry, never read poetry. In high school, it would take me 3 hours to write 3 lines, so I chalked the whole thing off as a hallucination. 2 weeks later, I was visiting my brother for the weekend and woke up in the middle of the night and wrote the first of about 2,000 poems. And actually, if anyone watches our posts or my posts, some of those posts come to me throughout the day and night. People have asked where I come up with them. So they're still coming to me 30 years later. But after the mystical experience and the crying, I lost that high, clear state. And although I continued writing these, not poems, more little ditties that would just come to me all the time, I lost the high, clear state, though, and I realized that I got into an alternative state, a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of love. But it happened in a very unhealthy way. I really wasn't eating or sleeping. So I started questioning internally, how can you reach this in a healthy, systematic way? And over a 25-year period, I was shown. How was I shown? I would meet people and they would tell me about a workshop in Buddhism. Another one told me about a workshop in Hinduism. I ended up working for Michael Harner, who taught shamanism. And then one day we wanted to meet friends halfway for an evening, and I pick up a brochure at a local New Age Institute, and there's somebody giving a workshop on Kabbalah. And we took it. We met there for the evening. And when I walked into the room and saw the diagram of the Tree of Life, which is basically 10 circles with 22 lines hooking up the circles, it's literally a blueprint of creation, which I'll get into a little bit later. When I saw this diagram, my body started to vibrate like it did when I had the mystical experience. And I felt like I knew it, but I didn't have a clue as to what I knew. At the end of the workshop, the facilitator mentioned that he was giving a 6-day workshop the following week, and I just love synchronicity. I happened to be on vacation with no plans. So, of course, I took it. In the middle of the week, one of the deep meditations, a vision came to me of this Tree of Life with the key pointing to the middle circle. And to me, the awareness I had is this is the systematic, balanced approach to higher consciousness. There's literally a ladder here, a diagram to higher consciousness and love. And by the end of the workshop, I bought every book by the facilitator, and I had been teaching workshops at a local senior center. And I mentioned to the people there that I had taken this workshop on Kabbalah. And they said to me, why don't you teach it? And I said, because you're supposed to be male, 40 years old, steeped in the Old Testament and married. and I didn't meet any of that criteria at the time. However, after about 6 months of them literally badgering me, I walked in one day and I said I'd be happy to facilitate a study group with the idea that I'm a student along with you, and any questions that come up, we'll research it together. And I taught it that way for 3 years. This is where I got into the law of attraction about 20 years before it became popular. And 3 years after teaching it, I had signed up for a mysticism conference locally, and I was talking to the rabbi who had put it together, and she asked me, what's your interest in Kabbalah? And I said, well, I came to it through the back door of first having the mystical experience, but I don't have any traditional background. And she said to me, well, I have a traditional background. Why don't we teach a class together? And we did that for 24 weeks. And people from that class asked me to do a home study group, which is still going on today, 12 years later.
Oh, my goodness.
During that time, I was doing workshops, and people would ask me to work with them privately, but I had no credentials. So at age 48, I went to college, and that's when I got my bachelor's and master's degree in social work. I also remarried, and I had belonged to a spiritual book club where people from all different backgrounds would come and just discuss different books. And every so often I would say, Kabbalistically, they view it this way. And one day while walking out of the house, this woman whispers in my ear, write me a proposal for a workbook on Kabbalah. Had never written before in my life. I wrote a 60-page outline, and it was accepted and published by Sterling Publishing in 2005. Now,
wow.
Yeah, since that time, I continued doing workshops, continued doing professional trainings on integrating spirituality and psychotherapy. And really, what I found also afterwards, this is when the law of attraction became very popular and people were teaching what you think you attract. And I realized happiness is much more than just thinking and attracting what you want. It's who you are, how you feel about yourself, and what you contribute to life. And so my new work is really combining the mystical path and the practical path of how can you, like you had even mentioned either in your introduction about, I don't pray every minute of the day, or I don't take the time for formal meditation. For me, I've really learned that prayer and meditation happens throughout the day. Just by what we think and how we feel literally translates or transmits out to the universe and comes back. And so we can learn how to be in a relaxed and even altered state throughout the day by the way we think, the way we feel, and learning how to release certain constrictions spontaneously, and the way we act. And that, to me, is the real goal. How can we live this way throughout the day, not just by meditating, although that's extremely important, but how do we really live it?
Exactly, and that's the key, is not just, I think, the routine, but how we get into actually living. And
right.
that is a huge, huge difference. And I think that that's one of the crossover points of people trying to figure out, how do I get to that living point? You know, how do I translate it from, okay, here's a little practice or here's a little this or that, to this is my way of life?
Right. Well, it's learning how to speak differently, how to think differently, how to feel differently, and how to act differently. Other than that, there's no work at all. And what I mean by that is, part of the law of attraction does work. What we think creates our beliefs. Our beliefs create how we feel, and our feelings create our attitudes and our actions. And if we can get in touch with these beliefs and thoughts and feelings and transform the negative ones to truth, then we neutralize the emotional charge. And I think my work is probably concentrating on the constrictions and the emotional charges, because I believe this is what separates us from the divine. For me, the divine and love are one and the same. I don't believe in a God that watches over to reward and punish. I believe in a divine energy of light and love. And we have access to that energy.
Yes. And I agree with you. I think, you know, sometimes people get very hung up on these different terms, and we forget that this is all kind of woven into one thing, in a sense. You know, there's so many people that I think separate the divine as something outside of themselves,
right,
instead of looking at it as, this is a part of me. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of what I am. You know, all of those things brought together. So,
well, I think of this divine energy is around us as well as within us. And that,
well, oh, I was just saying, well put on that, because it's, yes, on one hand, it's definitely within us, but we feel it. It's in everything that's around us.
Right. Absolutely.
We're not the only one individual component that's carrying it.
We're all carrying it. Some of us are aware of it and some aren't. Some of us can actually feel it and experience it, and others have more challenges to reach that state.
Exactly.
However, I believe we can all do it, but it takes time, patience, and practice.
Yes. And I think that that's the part that gets a little challenging for people, as I've noticed, especially recently with our influences, that a lot of people are not willing to be patient enough to go through the process. And I think that that's where, for a lot of people, they look and they think, why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening? And I'll get a lot of people in my clients, for example, that will say, well, when is this going to happen? And it's kind of like,
mm-hmm,
when you get through the process, it's going to happen.
Right. And process is the important word. Like, I believe enlightenment is not an end result. It's a daily practice of processing our thoughts, feelings, speech, and actions daily to open to truth and love. So,
yes.
I've been doing this work for 35 years. I still do my daily practice.
And I think that's the key, is it's a practice. No matter how many years you've been working on something, and I think I came across this recently where somebody was talking about, I'm not a master in something, they were referring to themselves. And I said, but even when you're a master, you know, a master is merely getting to a point where it flows and appears effortlessly to other people. But you're still always learning. Just because you become a master at something doesn't mean you stop learning or stop practicing or stop developing in it.
Exactly. Because even as a master, you also become a muster, meaning I must do this and I must do that, and that takes us out of the flow.
Thank you for that, because yeah. I have been up and down.
It puts us in force.
I have been up and down with some people about that recently, going, we've got to get out of some of these spaces, because these wants and these must-haves and things, and they're tossing us. You think that you think you're thinking about abundance, and it's tossing you into deprivation.
Exactly.
Let's come back. You made a little earlier. You said you are the Messiah. So what is that for you? Because that's a bold statement to make.
Okay. That I was going to use for the ending closing statement, but I'll tell you right now. After 25 years of really questioning that, the Messiah means we are all our own Messiah, capable of reaching a state of peace within ourselves by transforming our thoughts, feelings, speech, and actions to peace. And when we come from peace and deal with others from peace, that's when the greater Messiah will come.
And that is powerful. And I think so many people are searching for that peace. And they think, well, as soon as I start thinking about the Messiah or God or whatever term they want to use, I'm just automatically going to have peace and everything's going to fall into place. And yet kind of as Yehuda Berg mentioned in tonight's reading, it's really about the getting up. It's not the having just the easy ride.
Exactly.
It's about being willing to stand face-to-face to some of these challenges, and I would think that that is really a big part of personal mysticism, is being able to seriously look at yourself, and I know it's part of the Kabbalah.
Right. It's constantly looking at yourself, looking at how can you always come from love? And, you know, people talk about unconditional love, and they'll say, oh, I love my children unconditionally. I got to tell you, that's a lot of bull. Because it's, you know, they might think they're doing it, but to me, unconditional love is being in a state of love with whomever you're with. And so we always have to stay open to this divine love. Now, as far as falling down, we can get a dirty look from somebody and it'll disturb us. Or we're not meeting a deadline we say we would meet. You know, like people say to me, you have to love yourself. And I'll say, well, what do you do? Or I'll ask them, what do you do to love yourself? Well, I have a personal trainer. I play tennis twice a week. I go for a pedicure, manicure. I said, that's great. You're taking care of yourself physically. But what are you doing to love yourself? That's not loving yourself. To me, loving yourself is doing that process daily to open to, and I use the word receive, the divine love. Meaning when we process our thoughts and feelings and truly let go of the negative ones, our hearts open to this divine love. But there's a catch-all with it. A lot of people don't feel worthy or deserving of receiving that love. And there are, you know, you mentioned the word intimacy at one point, and believe it or not, a lot of people are afraid of intimacy with the divine.
Well, I think there's been so many different programmings when we get to that, and there's so much programming that says you will never be at the same level as the divine. You're not this, you're not that. There's a lot of programming that says you can't get intimate with the divine because it's, that term has been so distorted along the way from where it really originated, which
right.
was total vulnerable openness, basically. And then you have the group of people that grab all of that conceptually, and yet they have fears of getting that close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the fears are being taken over by the power. That's one of them. Others are fear of authority. Others are, I had a healer, actually, a psychic healer. When I said to her, I have a hunch you're afraid of really opening to the divine, she said, yeah, I'm afraid I'll be told to maybe open an orphanage in India, and I don't want to do that. Some
of
them are
example.
Afraid of our own power. Some of them are afraid of the higher power. Some are afraid that they won't be valued enough or God won't be there for them if they do the work. There's a lot there. Some are afraid of success, afraid of really connecting. It's very interesting because, like you said, the programming has to be looked into as to what it really means. And a lot of people have problems with using the word God, you know, because of the dogma and possible fear of sin and, you know, other programs that they've been brought up with. And that's what has to be looked at. What beliefs do you have about God or a higher power, and what does it mean to you? And to me, the word God stands for grand organizing design, meaning there is a system and a plan, and we're being guided on how to open to love and live our purpose.
Yes, I love that connection there between that, and I think that that is very, very powerful. Now, you also mentioned something earlier, Penny, about the tree of life. Share with us what that is about, because a lot of people have heard of the tree of life. But there's a lot of people out there that just don't get it. They don't understand
right,
what it really is.
Right. A lot of people think of it being very complicated. But the tree of life, the official Kabbalistic tree of life, looks like a map. It's 10 circles in a certain formation with diagonal and horizontal lines connecting the different spheres, they call it. And the spheres really are objective and stand for different levels of consciousness. And when we climb the tree of life, we can climb it from a very devotional place, from following the Torah or the five books of Moses. We can do meditations, but it can also be used. The diagram is actually the blueprint of creation. It outlines the forces of nature, the structure and dynamics of these forces from a global perspective. But then from the mini perspective, it also outlines the journey of the soul and how to reach higher consciousness. Being a psychotherapist, I put the psychological and practical steps onto this diagram called the Tree of Life. And that's why I call it now the Integrated Tree of Life, because I not only integrate the mystical part with the practical part, but I also integrate other traditions into this Tree of Life. Being the blueprint of creation, it corresponds with it. First of all, it's the foundation of Judaism, Christianity, and the Greek traditions, and it corresponds with the Eastern traditions, meaning you can put the chakra system onto the Tree of Life. You can put the seven sacraments of Christianity onto the Tree of Life. You can put Erickson's stages of development on the Tree of Life. My ex-husband, who I'm still very good friends with, is the former CFO of RJR Nabisco. And although he was an atheist, when he read my book and I started talking about the practical steps, he said to me, we could put success in business onto the Tree of Life. And we did a few workshops together on that. And this is why I became so enamored with the diagram. Everything is organized around this system. And it could help keep you organized, whether you're writing a book, doing an orchestral symphony. It all falls into place. Now, regarding levels of consciousness, there's the physical, there's the four worlds, which is the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. And then there's the spheres in these different portions. So it's working through your physical addictions, meaning poor nutrition. It could be any kind of real addiction to alcohol, drugs, shopping, gambling, lack of exercise, poor environment. So the first thing you have to do is work through physical fit and environmental fitness. And there are a lot of in-between steps as to what to look at. Then the second primary area is the psychological issues, the compulsions, the negative thinking, the emotional pieces, the inability to forgive, the judgments, criticisms, control issues. Also the inability to let go, working through emotional stuff. Then the third world or the third area is looking for our purpose. And I believe we don't really search for our purpose. It comes to us and through us when we've worked through the first two parts, the physical and psychological pieces. Meaning, for me, after the mystical experience, I was doing yoga to a TV program, and at the end of the program, the teacher said, just start saying, right after the meditation this was, just start saying, I'm finding and fulfilling my purpose. And I was so desperate, I would do anything at that point. And I kept saying, I'm finding and fulfilling my purpose. And then I took a workshop with Joseph Campbell, who was a great mythologist in the 1970s and 80s, who was the one who coined the term, follow your bliss. So every day I'm finding and following my purpose. But I would follow my bliss as far as after the mystical experience. I started reading every book I can on mystical experiences, William James, Cosmic Consciousness, The Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind, and anything about Carl Jung. And I just absorbed it, and then I started reading everything on relationships. And I just kept pursuing these things. And I went back to school to learn about the brain. And this is what I mean when I say, if you do what you love, your purpose will come to you. And that's when this woman asked me to write the book on Kabbalah. And then I started doing workshops on it and kind of transformed it a little bit more to doing personal mysticism. Now, the tree of life can break down even further into the 10 different dimensions, where the first would be the body. The second, there's like 5 circles in a middle column, 3 circles in the right column, and 3 circles in the left column. And starting from the bottom, I like to go from the bottom up because we're starting at the physical for people who really haven't connected with the divine. And what I mean by that is I have a lot of clients who say they're very spiritual. They experience ESP and mental telepathy. And I had one person, I was doing a workshop in Sarasota, Florida, and right in the middle, this woman who was a well-known healer raises her hand and she says, you know, I'm so good for everybody else. I can read their grid lines from past life and future life, but I feel like I'm disintegrating. So to me, that means she goes out of her body rather than being healed through her body, and she needs to bring her soul back into her body to feel whole, to feel confident, right, to feel complete. And so if we start from the grounding up, meaning the body, the physical world, and work through those things, the second sphere in the middle is about connecting with our higher self, our self-image, dealing with regrets we might be carrying, learning how to really feel that soul connection within us, loving our higher self, acknowledging it. And what I mean by that is, after I had the mystical experience and started meditating, I started getting into deeper states, and I would open to this divine love and feel it inside me. And this was actually before I really believed in a higher power. I would pray for love, I would pray for wisdom, I would pray for understanding. And then one day while praying for those qualities and actually experiencing them, I again felt this incredible radiance around me and come into me. And it was so overwhelming, I automatically started saying, I love you. I love you. And I didn't know what I was saying it to. And it was like the love being returned. And I remembered thinking, this must be the concept in the Song of Solomon of I am my beloved and my beloved is mine.
Yes. And I mean, what a powerful connection as these things come together. And you talk about the Tree of Life being the blueprint of creation, and there's, the way I look at it is it's almost like there's multiple systems dropped into one neat diagram.
That's why I like this diagram so much. It is. We were on a trip in Thailand, and the guide had lived in a monastery for 19 years and as a monk. And I had my brochure with me with the diagram of the Tree of Life. And I gave it to him without explaining it to him. The next day he comes in and he points to a specific sphere and he says, this is where I'm at in my level of development.
Interesting.
And so putting the practical steps onto this Tree of Life, part of it as we move up, the next circle on the left is about clear thinking and also, well, the bottom, I'm sorry, let me backtrack for a minute. The bottom one would state a belief in God. The second one is a belief in your higher self. The third one is gratefulness and a connection, seeing the synchronicities of your thoughts and feelings. Like for me, it isn't even believing in this higher power. It's knowing it. It's seeing it in daily life, seeing my thoughts and what comes to me, my feelings and what happens. I mean, it's just fascinating about thoughts and connections. It was after 9/11 and my husband and I went shopping and I had gotten whatever I needed and I said to my husband, look, you continue shopping. I'm going to go in the car. I'll meditate. And this is a big parking lot. And I said to myself, do I really reach this higher power or God when I meditate, or is it just an illusion? So I meditate for about 20 minutes, and I open my eyes, and in front is a big truck, G-O-D. I said,
is that an answer?
I chuckled. You know, another time I was working on the book and I felt really stumped. I was actually working on a chapter on grace and I didn't know how to explain it easily. And my husband and I decided to go to a Starbucks and it was very crowded and there was one man sitting alone reading a newspaper and we asked if he minded that if we sit down. And he says, no, and he continues to read the newspaper. And all of a sudden, he looks up at me and says, what do you think grace is? And my husband looks at him. He says, what did you say? Because I was talking about it to my husband driving to Starbucks. I just asked her, what is grace? And he says, well, what made you ask that? He says, well, I had a meeting with my priest this afternoon, and we were discussing it, and I still don't understand it.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, you know, it's when you feel like God intervenes on things and you feel good. He says, no, what does it mean from a very practical perspective? And I said, well, you know, when you've broken through a very difficult project, it feels like there's divine intervention. Or when your whole family is together and you just feel like this is as grand as it gets. Or, you know, other things happen. He says, now I understand. He picks up his newspaper and walks away. And I had the answer to my chapter.
How perfect does that come together?
Now, I had a couple of comments there, and I want to kind of tie these in a little bit. We were getting some confirmation along the way on what you were saying, yay and yes, and, you know, that we're so taught to be human only that we just can't imagine being more than we are, but we are.
Right.
And there was also the question, do you think that we are God?
I love that. When I first started doing workshops, and I still do it, the first thing I'd say is, I am God. And I'd look up and say, right, God? And the reality is I have come to believe that there is only us. And what I mean by that, we are the knower, the known, and the know-we. Meaning, what I see in you is my observation of you. What I think of you is still my thoughts. What I think you're thinking of me is still my thoughts. So whatever is going on is coming from me, going out to the universe, and I believe there's a cosmic mirror. So everything coming from me literally transmits into the universe and is reflected by the cosmic mirror and comes back to me through my own thoughts, feelings, insights, revelations, through signs, through symbols, as well as other people coming to me to show me something about myself. So it's
and
only
just,
me. There is no other.
And it's interesting. I had a comment come through while you were talking about that saying, yeah, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And
right.
That reminded me of somebody who had responded to one of my posts recently, and somebody was asking about, well, you know, what is God like or something. I can't remember exactly what the question was, but the answer was that it is exactly how we choose to see it.
That's right.
Which it's different
because
for
everything is consciousness.
Yes.
And it's what we make of our experiences. So, yes,
and
it's our perception of what is.
Yes, and that's such a big eye-opener for people, is that so many people get wrapped up into, I have to get to this point or make that accomplishment, and yet we're all different, and so we're all experiencing this divine or this love or whatever term people want to use, in a term that we can understand it and see it in a way that works for us. And that's going to be a little bit different for everybody. You know, there are some common themes that we're bought into, but it's a little bit different for everybody because we're...
Well, you know... Go ahead.
The energy vibration is the same, but each one of us has our own unique perspective or piece of that energy vibration.
Right, it's the way we interpret it. Like even mystical experiences, I believe we're all capable of having them, but each one interprets it in his own or her own way. I mean, that's why we have the Buddhism and the Buddha tradition and Moses and Allah. You know, I think most of these people have had mystical experiences, but it's the way they interpret it that makes the difference. So there is consciousness. There are these vibrations that impinge on us, but it's the way we put it together that makes us unique.
Very much
and,
so.
You know, and the biggest obstacle I have found, you mentioned the word vulnerability. People are afraid to open their hearts. And this is what we're talking about, opening our hearts to feel the divine love. People are afraid of it. They're afraid they'll be vulnerable. And what does vulnerability really mean? It's about feeling. People are afraid to feel. Vulnerability is sometimes the fear that somebody's going to find out about them. And the word vulnerability, for me, is a really funny word because I don't think we're really vulnerable if we take responsibility for our thoughts, feelings, speech, and actions and own up to them. And people are afraid to do that. Meaning if I tell a friend, you know, I forgot to put this $20 bag on the, you know, checkout counter, and I walked out with it, and I just didn't have the energy to return it. And then she tells somebody else, and the other person gets back to the first person and says, gee, I heard you stole something from the store. And you immediately get flustered and try to make excuses instead of really explaining what happened. Well, I don't see it as really stealing. It was a mistake. It was this. It was that. Instead of really, you know, getting crushed under the awareness of this. So if we own up to our thoughts and feelings and take responsibility for it, then there's never any vulnerability. But the major problem is people think their feelings rather than feel them. And we need to learn how to feel our feelings.
Yeah.
And that's when we can heal them. You know, like, you know the term fake it till you make it? I say feel it till you heal it and have it.
And I think that that is so perfect because people are afraid of those feelings. They're afraid of what it's going to feel like. They've built up in their mind so much conception that this is going to be painful instead of it being maybe an adventure or a learning experience that creates these amazing breakthroughs. And, you know, and that you really summed it up well there with when you take responsibility and you own up to your actions, a lot of the fears, if not all of them, go away because you're already standing in your power once you start to take responsibility for things.
Exactly.
Penny, do you have any kind of little thing you can do with our listeners that kind of brings some of this together?
I can. What I would like to do is a little exercise, meditation, visualization of how we open to the divine and then constantly close off. How would that work?
That sounds perfect.
And it'll be about 10 to 15 minutes, if that's okay.
Perfect.
Okay?
Okay, whenever you're ready.
So I'll do it right now. Now, always when I do a meditation, I like to do grounding. And the grounding is relaxing through different parts of your body, starting from the top down, then imagining growing roots into the ground to ground ourselves, and then bringing the nutrients of the earth back up through our backs, up to the top of our heads, and then bringing a brilliant light back down. Now, ideally, if people would practice just doing this for 10 to 15 minutes, they'll feel a shift of energy. Like when I do this, I literally feel the energy from my head coming down into my heart, and it feels like I'm home. Like I had mentioned before, a lot of people are out of bodies rather than in their bodies. Their souls are out of their bodies, and we want to bring it back in. So I'm going to start with the grounding meditation, and then I'll do the opening.
Okay.
So just close your eyes and set the intention to relax totally and to stay very aware and alert and to connect with divine light and love. And now focus all your attention on your head, eyes, the muscles behind your eyes, your eyelids, and the muscles in your eyelids, and just let go of any tightness, soreness, tension. And imagine going deeper and deeper into a relaxed state. And now focus on your nose, cheeks, temples, jaw, lips, chin, neck, and again, let go of any tightness, soreness, tension. And with every release, you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into a relaxed state. And now focus on the top of your spine, shoulders, chest, heart, lungs, rib cage, the middle of your spine, lower part of your spine, stomach and waist. And again, let go of any tightness, soreness, tension. And with every release, you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into a deep, relaxed state. And now focus on your buttocks, genital area, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, feet. And again, just let go of any tightness, soreness, tension. And experience just going into a very, very deep, deep, deep state. And now imagine growing deep roots into the ground, deeper and deeper and wider, being surrounded and firmly packed down by the good earth, giving you a firm foundation with the earth. And now imagine the nutrients of the earth coming into those roots, into your feet, ankles, calves. Bring that earth energy up into your buttocks, the back of your spine, shoulders, neck, the top of your head. And 6 inches above your head is an incredible incredibly brilliant light, radiating a channel of light around your entire body, engulfing you like a blanket of warmth. And now imagine that light penetrating into your skin. Every cell in your skin. And now penetrating even deeper into the muscles, tendons, arteries, veins, into every cell in that area. And now imagine that light penetrating into your musculatory system. Every muscle in your body, into your circulatory system, into your respiratory system, and now imagine that light penetrating into your head and every cell in your brain. And now into your heart, lungs. And into your kidneys, stomach. And just notice what you're experiencing in skin sensations, internal sensations. Notice whether you're stopping that energy from coming in or whether you're allowing it in. Give yourself permission to experience it, at least for right now. And now for a minute, we're going to imagine walking outside some place in nature where we can feel the air on our bodies, the sun shining down, maybe even near an ocean or a lake, merging with the elements of nature. If you're near trees, you can even imagine hugging a tree and feeling the energy of the tree, feeling at one with the tree. Or if there's flowers anywhere, imagine the aroma of the flowers and merging with the flower. And now imagine walking closer to a friend who's radiating with this light and love, like a bubble of love and light around him or her. And as you walk close to that person, notice what you're experiencing. And now the two of you take a step even closer and notice what you're experiencing. And now you each put your hand on each other's shoulder and notice what you're experiencing. And now you put your hands on the other shoulder. And now you get even closer to give a kiss and a hug. And notice how you're hugging. Are you close up to each other? Is your behind sticking out to stay away? Notice what you're experiencing. And now you say thank you, and slowly you start moving away from each other and notice what you're experiencing now. And as you turn around to wave, there's a frown on that person's face. Notice what you're experiencing. And the person doesn't wave back. Notice what's going on for you. And now you start turning around and walking back. Back into your house or office, and you sit down. Notice what you're experiencing in thoughts, feelings, sensations. And just take a deep breath. Notice if there's any constriction in your body, primarily in the neck and shoulder area, or perhaps in the heart area and chest, or the stomach. That's constriction. Closing you off from the divine. And if there's any constriction, breathe into it. Identify what the core feeling is. If it's in the neck or shoulders, it's generally shame or powerless or grief. If the constriction is in the heart area or chest area, it's generally lonely, sad, hurt. And if the constriction is in the abdomen, it's generally fear. And just breathe into any of these feelings. And since you have the ability to bring in this love like you did a little while ago, bring in that love again and send love to these feelings. They're just vibrations. That's all they are. Just send love to them. And send them out with love. Just let it go. And this is where I sometimes add a Hawaiian prayer called Ho'oponopono, where I might say, I'm sorry for closing off with these constrictions. Please forgive me. And I also add, I forgive you. Thank you. I love you. And just, again, notice what's happening. And give thanks for any insights, intuitions, revelations, sensations. And whenever you're ready, open your eyes.
And I'm letting everybody kind of come back a little bit from this, and really a truly beautiful exercise there in things. And I think that for those people who want to continue to build on this, there are plenty of ways to do that, and they can certainly contact you for various things that you do and work with this. But even, I think it's amazing, in such a small time and with even a shortened sample like this, how much we can experience and how much we can feel, and to be able to have that experience of connecting with that love, with that divine energy. In there. So I thank you so very much for that, Penny.
My pleasure.
Really, really nice. And I encourage people, you know, share this and give other people a chance to come in and experience this exercise. And anytime you can come back and listen to this in the archives and listen to it over and over again and get this experience again, because I find even with all my years of training, it's just really valuable if I sit back and receive it from somebody, as opposed to the other way, which I can get there the other way on my own, but it's sit back and receive it.
Right.
And so, Penny, I want to give you a little bit of time here because, you know, we're amazingly just, I don't know, the time always goes so quickly, it seems like. You have a program that you've made available to people, and I want to make sure that you get your contact information in and tell us a little bit about this program that you've put together as well.
Well, the program is on personal mysticism, seeing the light, feeling the love, and enjoying your life. And it's going to be a teleclass on Tuesday mornings, 9:30 to 11. Actually, I just realized that's Eastern Standard Time. So I don't know about the people on the West Coast. I will actually probably be doing one in the evening as well, starting on July 8th. So if anybody is interested, please email me at Penny, P-E-N-N-Y, at PennyCohen.com, or you can call me 914-764-1703. And
perfect.
The primary part of the workshop is really using the Tree of Life to figure out the divine puzzle of life and our part in it, how to co-create with these energies and learn how to align with our higher self and be guided by it. Like people, I'll usually say, how many people believe in God? And 99% in a class will raise their hand, and then I'll say, how many people surrender to God? And maybe 2% raise their hand. So it's about realizing that each one of us is light, love, and wisdom when we open to it and allow it to flow through us. And the philosophy is, if I have some time to just mention a few of these things, you asked,
yes,
do I believe we're God? We are each our own God. We conceive our lives, but we don't create them alone. We have help. Unconditional love isn't something we do. It's something we receive. Purpose isn't something we search for. It finds us when we declare that we're prepared and ready for it. Enlightenment is not an end result, but an ongoing process of healing ourselves one belief and one instinct at a time. All-knowing is within, which means the intelligence of each of us dwells in each other's bodies, hearts, souls, and spirits. And when we heal a part of ourselves, we heal a part of the world. Our role is to make our bodies sanctuaries for divine light, love, and wisdom. And greatness is not measured by what we achieve, but by what we've learned to overcome and embrace.
Really some great areas to look at in there. And I have no question there's a wealth of information knowing you. we'll get tons by participating in this. And these are humongous concepts and humongous experiences for us to have. And I think that you're delving into a lot of areas where people have questions and they wonder about these things and they're wondering how to bring this together. And so I certainly encourage people to check that out. Now, is that on your website that they would sign
up
for that?
Okay, I was trying to put it up today, and we had an electrical storm, and there was a technical glitch. So hopefully by tomorrow actually by Monday, I will definitely have it up.
Okay.
In the meantime, if people just email me, I will send it to them.
Okay. Okay. And that email
at Penny,
again is?
At PennyCohen.com.
Penny@PennyCohen.com. And
right.
I think it sounds like a fantastic program, Penny. It really sounds like you're covering a strong realm of foundations and information there for people. Penny's website, by the way, is www.pennycohen.com. That's PennyCohen.com. So, Penny, what would you like to wrap up with here tonight? What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, some of the primary principles that I mentioned, that we create our lives, but we have help. We have to ask for it. And that mysticism is really seeing our thoughts, feelings, speech, and actions being reflected back to us. And that when we process them and open to love, that's when we're actually in a space of being loved, supported, guided, and blessed. And life feels sublime.
And boy, that's
that's the space I think a lot of people are looking for today and wanting to tap into. And we did have a comment come in from the chat room that says that your wisdom is outside of any religion. And most definitely. It is universal and it is integrated. And right there are my keys for knowing that something is truthful, because it is not bound to a specific belief system. It reaches beyond any of them.
Penny, well, that's what I believe mysticism is. It's the oneness of us all.
And I love this, because people have had these different ideas of what mysticism was about, and yet I wholeheartedly agree with you. It is about the oneness. It is about the unity and the coming together. And, of course, we had a great time. It's been not quite a year and a half, but close, when I had you on the show before. And if you've loved some of the things Penny shared here tonight, she has some great insights on relationships. Go and catch that in the archives as well. But, Penny, it's been an absolute blessing to have you here and sharing with us again.
Oh, my pleasure, Jesse.
And again, just one more time, I want to remind everybody that you can learn more about Penny's work at www.pennycohen.com. That's PennyCohen.com. Now, next week on the show, I've got Bruce Ciccarelli, and we are going to be looking at his music and journey. And I hope I've got that right thing up, that that's who I've got on. I'm pretty sure I read that right. And he's putting together some wonderful music that is based on his musical journey, and I think you're really going to enjoy his work and what he has to share. My books, again, on relationships have been released. You can find links to those at my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com, which is where all of the archive shows are found as well. And those books actually delve into how to find, develop, and maintain your perfect relationship, and you'll learn how to understand what your partner is thinking, feeling, needing, and how to communicate in ways that strengthen your relationship and avoid the drama. I've also got a whole series of events out for 2014. You can look into those at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And I've got some amazing things where things have been shifted around a little bit on those, so you could check those out. The one coming up here in about a week is actually been shifted to Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area. And also my monthly special for this month. If you register for the August event by the end of this month, you can get 25% off, and just go right onto my homepage. You'll get all the details on that, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com. And I want to remind you to don't forget that we've got several shows right here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights we have Darren Bouquet, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Randy Goldberg with Vedic Astrology. Tuesday's absolutely wonderful show with Susan Weed, who's sharing her expertise in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights we have Daniel, Janice, and Brett on our flagship show called Main Street Universe. They do a variety of things on there, from discussions to guests, sometimes some readings on there. Thursdays we have Queen Mother Umaku, who's looking at a variety of things, doing some very interesting work. And Fridays, Kevin Baird, Walking on the Sidewalk with his Horizon Oracles Journeys deck. Actually, earlier today he had an author on the air, which was really interesting and worth checking out that as well. And that comes from a deck that he created, which you can learn more about, templeofgaia.com. He works with Horizon Oracles Journeys deck. And then, of course, Friday nights is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. Again, thank you to all of our listeners, not only on Blog Talk Radio, but those streaming live on PEN, known as Pair Encounters Network, StreamFinder, and TalkStream Live, as well as those that are catching our podcast at iTunes and TuneIn.com, and those catching the YouTube version of our show. A special thanks to tonight's sponsor, Earth Goddess Rising, and stay tuned here, because we definitely look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in our archives, and I'm going to leave you with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shemshai. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have a truly amazing week.
The first Earth Goddess Rising Retreat is set for July 11, 12, and 13 of 2014 and will be held in stunning Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Come join us with other men and women from around the world for yoga, meditation, classes, organic meals, dance and music festivities, healing workshops, hot mineral springs, and more. Want more information? Visit earthgoddessrising.com and cash in on the early bird ticket sales, earthgoddessrising.com.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change and size. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. Learning to walk just a little bit slower, whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning, deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning. Turning back now, this time we repeat it. Once
within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for. Over and over, life is yours.